Welcome to the 50 States Finish Line podcast, where we talk about running, road races, and all the ways running enriches our lives. I'm Pam, and I have run races in 28 states and have completed 5 marathons. Thank you for tuning in. We have a lot to cover today, so let's get started. I am fortunate to have an amazing runner and person in the studio with me today. And just as a way to introduce this is to say that we haven't actually ever started at the starting line together, but I've always been so impressed with just my guest's way of approaching the start of a race. She arrives early. She's always so calm, always so humble, and just as a remarkable, remarkable runner. So I feel very fortunate to have my guest in the studio today because it's someone that I've always admired from afar, and I'm really looking forward to hearing what she has to say. So welcome, Cynthia. Do you want to tell our listeners a little bit about yourself as a runner?
Well, thank you for having me. I am so happy to hear that kind of introduction. When I hear a word runner, I said, am I really a runner? I'm not too fast. I'm not that fast, but it is something that I can do. I thought I never could or would be a runner.
Interesting.
Yes. I am just, you know, Cynthia Kulasa, a former refugee who fled away from Laos to America. We got here in 1982. So who would think of going all over the place to run races? So I never ran the race before in my life, and I didn't know anything about road races until one day my friend told me about the nuns and the children from, you know, St.
Oh,
Charles.
Yes, yes.
The orphanage center in Rochester.
Yes.
She told me that the nuns and the kids go running races, like 5K most likely, and I was 41 and a half years old. I said, well, if the nuns and the kids can run, so I can try. So I was introduced to the first 5K at the end of 1998. You know, the Newcastle 5K.
Oh, I loved that. Yes. With Guy Stearns. Yes.
Yes. No training, no nothing or whatever. I just took myself out there. Actually, my friends took me out there to run the race. And I have no idea how it was like. So I thought I wouldn't able to finish. But I did in 25 minutes. And from that moment on, I said, well, I think I can do this, you know.
Yeah.
And I have been running since then.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't even know how to read the result. They had to show me. And now I'm kind of a pro now. I can show other people how to read the results.
Right,
you know,
right.
I even bring my friend to racing. I bring my grandson to racing and stuff like that. And I show them how to read the result and all of that now.
Yeah.
You know, back in Laos, you know, who ran anything?
Yeah.
I mean, we just work and work and work, you know.
So it sounds like to me that, so interesting, you're like my second or third guest who came to running kind of later on. You know, some people, I always think that people come to running, they run as, you know, in high school or college. And it's really interesting to me, individuals coming to it later in life and finding such satisfaction with it. I mean, I think that's a great thing for any listener, that you can find incredibly satisfying things in life later in life, not just those that you carry with you throughout your lifetime. And I also think it's interesting that you started with a 5K, because now when I think of you, I think of you as a much longer distance runner. So in the beginning, and the nuns, right? I loved running with the nuns as well. And I was always so impressed, right, how they would peel off before the finish line, right? I don't think they would cross the finish line. You know, they would get all the children across. But I just, they would do those jingle bell, right? The jingle bell races as well. But in those early race times for you, tell me a little bit about that. Like, did you stick with 5Ks in those early times?
Oh, yes, I did stick with a 5K for the first 2 years.
Okay.
And then at the end of the second year, I picked up a 10K, and I thought that was a very long, long, long one. But now, maybe 20-some years later, and I'm now 65 years old, and then I just want to run longer distance now. Mm-hmm. I pick up 5K here and there if there is nothing else available in the area. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it serves as a speed workout. Mm-hmm. If you do a 5K or 10K, you push yourself harder. Mm-hmm. And then when you go distance, it's just all about endurance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about, you know, sticking with your program. So now I'm 65. I have done just so many long distance races, you know, from 5K now to 100K. I did it once. Just to say that I had done it. I had done bunches of 50 miler, 50K on trail and 20 miler, you just name it. I have been doing just so many of them. In some years, I had run like 51 races in 1 year.
Yeah. So. Well, we okay, let's just stay on that point for a minute, because that was one of my questions for you, is how do you plan that? Because one thing I do think about you is that most runners, I would say, might have, let's say, 4 half marathons or 5 half marathons on their calendar for the year, or maybe marathoners. Like, but when I've ever spoken to you, either at the beginning or the end of the race, I know that the race you're doing is one of maybe a couple races that you might be doing within a short period of time. Like, it's a Saturday race and you may also be racing Sunday, or it's a Sunday marathon and you might be racing Sunday the following week. So have you always done that? Have you always kind of stacked a lot of races onto your schedule?
As long as I have the time and the schedule allows me to do that, I would stack myself. You know, sometimes 5K one day, Saturday, and the next day is the marathon, or it's the other way around. And then the following weekend, I may do half marathon and then a 5K, you know, something like that. Whatever was available, I did it. And, you know, people always ask me, why you run so much? I said, why not? You know, when I run races here, people were cheering for me. They give me water. And then, you know, if I finish, I get the medal. And then, you know, I just keep going. And then, unlike in Laos, you know, I ran only when the teacher said, run home, because the bomb was dropping on your head now if you don't, you know. So that's when we ran home. And it was not counted for anything. It's just to save your life and make it to the family.
Yeah.
So now people ask that. I said, why not? Everything is out there. I mean, it is just a golden opportunity to meet new people, make new friends. And it is so great. I'm so honored to be in the running community. I am so glad that I have found running as my passion. You know, it's it's expensive and all, but it's just so well worth it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So take us back to Laos, because I don't know that part of your story and I'm really interested in that. So when we started this conversation, you mentioned you came here, did you say in the 80s you came from Laos? In the
I fled away in 1980 and we stay. I came with 2 little kids and my ex-husband and his mom, and we stayed in the refugee camps in Thailand for over a year and a half. And then we came to the U.S. in 1982. And then the first many years, you just didn't think of doing anything. It's exercising, forget it. You just work to survive, because we came from Laos with really nothing. So we started all over. We just work and work, 2-3 jobs just to survive. And then when kids were all grown, then I said, now what do I do? And this is when I started. And of course, the nuns and the kids probably took me out there. And every now and then I got asked to pace some of the kids. And I was just so honored, you know, to do so. I mean, if I had run for myself, you know, I tend to go a little bit faster, but I wanted to do more of those. So if I got to pace the kids and they got a PR, then I was just so happy.
So interesting that all, you know, I hope maybe some of those children and maybe even the nuns listen to this podcast to just see how all these years later, there's still so much a part of so many people's stories, because you know, obviously the nuns were doing that to keep the kids active, and it was a great way to structure their day, but they gave so much to the community. And I love that you were there to kind of help pace them in that way.
Yes, I just love to be out there and to inspire and to be inspired.
So I know all this time later, you may even know, but I'm just curious, when you say you've done so many distances and have run so many races, I would imagine you keep some pretty thorough records. So is there one year that where you know, you did a certain number of races in a year, or is there a certain average number of races that you do in a year? Or do you strike to try to get so many 5Ks in a year? I'm just curious what that looks like.
I keep it by year, you know, and then after each race, I mean, just write on my bibs and I tape it up to the cardboard and put it in the book. I write down the race, the distance, and the place and the time, overall place and age division, mm-hmm. and stuff like this, race by race. I got about 48 pages already so far of all of this. Some year, the most is like, 51 races. And then average is about 30 to 40-ish. And until I got injured, you know, the year I got injured, that I had less.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So impressive. That's so impressive. And again, it's really interesting to hear as a runner kind of how you catalog those experiences, because I do think runners tend to do that. We tend to kind of catalog that. And one of my first guests, Jen Smith, gave me and maybe another runners this like folio. I don't know if this is what you have, but you know, I would say, and one of my favorite items as a runner is this folio where you actually put the bib inside this little plastic cover. And
yes,
I know Jen likes to actually write, you know, what the weather was like and maybe the restaurants we ate at and things like that.
Sometimes I write it down on the extra stuff, or if I get injured at a certain race, or if I meet new people, I would write the name down and, you know, where they came from and mm-hmm. all of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Do you do most of your races in New England, or do you travel for races?
I have run in so many towns and cities and states. I have done 25 states, but a lot of repeats in mm-hmm. certain states, let's say Mass, Maine, Vermont, mm-hmm. you know, these far away, I just go and do once.
Mm-hmm.
And I had done like in 8 different countries.
Interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah. And it was just so much fun to be able to go.
And when you say 8 different countries, was there, I don't know, what took you to those countries?
Sometimes I go with marathon tours. Sometimes when we travel, and I would look for races. And then there was one time where we went to the Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. I didn't know anything about the road race. I didn't read about anything. So we walked out to dinner, and then I saw a big sign with the picture of people running. And I took the picture. I came back to the hotel. I said, "What is this?" Translate it for me. And they said, "Oh, a half marathon tomorrow." I said, "Oh," then I looked it up. And where do I sign up? It's right next door to the hotel.
Perfect.
So I went just right signing up, and I ran it the next day.
And so, what a great way to see. So, was this in Prague?
In Prague, yes.
What a beautiful city to run, I bet.
I had been to Hungary, mm-hmm. to Italy, to Greece, to New Zealand, because we lived there like for 4 months. So mm-hmm. I did 3 marathons there. And we went back the second time for a month and a half. I did another marathon, and I did 4 half marathon in New Zealand, along with like 18 miler and on these 5Ks, 10Ks. And yeah, so 8 country total. And then I did the Bermuda and Bahamas like 4 times. Bahamas.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So again, it just is so interesting to me how a friend taking you to a 5K when you were at the age of 41 and a half has led you to all of these world, you know, adventures around the world. So for any of our running listeners out there, you just don't know where running is going to take you. And I think this conversation really speaks to that. So I'm so delighted you're sharing those experiences with us. We're going to take a short break. You are listening to the 50 State Finish Line podcast. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the 50 States Finish Line podcast. Cynthia, what keeps you running?
Running in the in America, I feel so free. I mean, I don't have to be afraid that the bombs are going to land on my head, you know, unlike back in Laos where I had to run home whenever they bombed the country. So running is something that I can do, and I can do it alone if I choose to. Mm-hmm. And I hope to inspire, like I said, and to be inspired, you know, especially my kids and my grandkids. I also want to stay fit, strong, and healthy so that I can take care of them. Mm-hmm. I want to live long enough to see all my grandkids on, you know, on grown up and stuff like that. Because after all, I fled away from Laos just to give them a life, maybe a better life. So now I'm going to try to make that happen. I try to give them a good role model. You know,
There, you know, there's just so much in what you're speaking about there. And I think for so many runners, you know, I got chills actually when you say I feel so free. And I think many runners might feel free when they're running, but for different reasons. And we all have our different reasons about what gets released out there. But I find what you're saying really moving. And I also love what you're saying about being there for your children and kind of modeling, I guess I would say, being a role model and modeling what health looks like over a long period of time. And so it feels to me like obviously running has enriched your life tremendously. And I'm curious, like, do your children run, grandchildren run? Do you have them joining you for any races?
My daughter, one of my daughter has run about 7.5 marathons. And then, you know, once she got kids, then it's hard for her to train for it. And other daughters and grandkids, I have been taking them to a 5K race. Mm-hmm. And then each time, you know, if they didn't want to run, I said, let's go volunteer just to be surrounded by runners, because naturally runners are happy people, you know, especially when they got to the finish line. I mean, most of them anyway. And they have been here and there. And, you know, my grandson, even now, I took him to few races and he has done very good, like 5K, he runs like 21 minutes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And he's a high schooler.
That's fantastic.
And running, you know, has been an important part of my life since I started. Running teaches me to be determined, to be patient, to focus on what I'm doing. And, you know, it is so easy to lose track, to get onto the wrong track. I mean, coming to the America, there are just so many options. And I try to be there for my kids, try to remind them of where we came from, and to try to stay on the good track, mm-hmm. and to stay focused. And you know, to have patience and in what they're doing. Because it is just so easy to give up. Mm-hmm. Just like running any race, you know, the hard part for me is probably, okay, signing up. If I sign up, one good step done. The second one is even harder because I don't know my way around that much. You know, mm-hmm. I try to carpool with people. And now we have GPS, I still get nervous. So the big step is like to get there. If people say, oh, are you going to run this race? I said, well, if I get there, I'm going to run. So then if I make it there, then I'm happier. And then to start running, I said, the run will take care of itself. Yes. Yes. And then running has been giving me the opportunity to meet many new people. Fantastic people and making so many new friends. You know, like I just went to London in October and then I met many people from all over and I made new friends and we stay in touch and then we will be meeting one another anytime soon. You know, if they come from there to Boston to run, I said, come to my home.
That's so
sweet. I will be happy to have you with us, you know.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Are you part of some formal running clubs? Are you part of any organized groups?
You know, I belong to Winner Circle Running Club, mm-hmm. but I hardly do anything with them. Mm-hmm. Only when we run a relay, then mm-hmm. I may run for Winner Circle. Mm-hmm. I join the team and I run for them. And personally, I have my running group.
Yeah,
it is on Wednesdays at noon time. I have been organizing this group for now 15 years or more because I worked at the University of New Hampshire. So every Wednesday we met up at noon time. Not only the people from the school, people came from Newmarket, from Nottingham, from nearby town, and they would hear about my running group and they would come and join. You know, I used to have like 18, 20 to 25 people running every Wednesday. You know, for me, I was just so happy to see them. I bring waters and sometimes snacks. Yeah, you know, just to make it real. And people just love it. They say this is the best day of, you know, of the week because they get to socialize. They get to see other runners and we chit chat and we do the workout together. You know, we are not at the same speed or anything, but we do what we can out there.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like you've really, like, it's become family, that running has become family for you.
Yes, that is like my second family. I make so many friends, you know. When I was growing up in the village, I didn't even have any friends. You know, our family is like below the medium after my parents passed. And I didn't have any friends. All I had is just my younger brothers, my older brothers. And then I always take care of them and never had friends, but now it's like my running community, my running friends is like huge, you know.
Yes.
I really do appreciate that. I, you know, if I don't see them, I miss them. I have been on the sideline now for 3.5 months because I had foot surgery and I cannot really run yet, but I just
started. That's gotta be so hard.
It's really hard. I miss racing. I miss seeing all my friends, but I am getting back. I have been doing up to 10 miles now, jog and walk. And I signed up for a couple of races already. So I hope to be able to go out there and finish. Boston is coming up. So I signed up for a half marathon in March to try myself out.
I'm sure you're going to get there. You have that kind of determination. And I also know, right, you might be someone who cross trains a little bit. I think you might do other things besides running, or is pretty much running what you...
I do cross training. I swim and I bike in the summertime. Mm-hmm. And I do yoga here and there. Now I take bar class.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple times a week. And I swim just about every day. Now that I'm retired, I have all the time.
Yeah.
You know, I will be doing bar class, and then I go to walk or to jog and jump in the pool. So by 12:30 or 1 o'clock, I'm done with my workout. So then I go home, eat lunch, and then soon enough, I go for another walk or jog, shorter distance. Yeah. If I get the 10 miler done, I may do 3 in the afternoon, just because
yeah,
I have
active.
The time.
Yeah.
I said, why not? You know, I have the time and I'm using it wisely. Yes. Yeah. And then eat well, eat healthy. That is another key.
That is key.
Yeah.
So it sounds to me, in terms of kind of the longevity, it's cross training, it's the community that comes with running. You know, I guess one thing would be just any nutritional tips. And then I always like to ask about like your favorite shoe, favorite tech item.
Yes, for the food, you know, how people go, you know, pasta dinner and all of this. For me, when I go to races and I eat whatever it's there, you know,
okay.
At home, I love to eat rice and noodle. Coming from Laos, mm-hmm. You know, all we had is rice and noodle. You know, mm-hmm. We didn't have potato, we didn't have, you know. So we just try to eat healthy. And running shoes, you know, I use ASIC for so many years.
Yes.
and more than 10 years. And then I moved to New Balance. Not that it gave me any trouble, but maybe I just want to try it out. Mm-hmm. Whatever fits me. You know, I just try it out. But now I have no choice but to use Saucony Echelon 8.
Okay.
That is what the surgeon recommended for my bad ankle and okay. My bad foot.
Okay.
So I have, that is the only brand that I can fit in. Sometimes my foot swell up a little bit
okay.
After the surgery. You know.
Yeah. Well, hopefully those work for you for your upcoming races.
I hope so. I will have to stick with it for a while.
And how about a tech item? Are you someone who uses a headlamp or an Apple Watch? Do you have any kind of tech, or are you like old school and just...
Oh, you know, I was so old school for so long. All I have is just a Timex watch so mm-hmm. that I know the time, that I don't miss the starting time. And... Boston Marathon, when it was virtual,
mm-hmm.
You know how to have to record your time,
yes.
And you have to submit. That made me go out to buy a Garmin that I didn't even know how to use. My friends
is
helped me.
Is that on your wrist? That's a beautiful watch.
Yes. And then this is the second one now, because now I cannot go without a Garmin. But, you know, because... I think there are many good things and some bad things, right? When you have Garmin, it's like, okay, we are chasing Garmin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it says this mileage and when it says this speed and then you want to go faster or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then the helpful thing is like, okay, I get to like 6.5. Why not going for 7?
Mm-hmm.
So then I would go another loop to make a round number. And now it passed 7 something. I said, why don't I go for 8?
Right.
You know, before I know it, I get 13. So that is good Garmin right there,
mm-hmm.
You know. But I should not go crazy about, you know, I will not let Garmin to control me as far as, okay, I ran like 10 minutes per mile. I want to go 8 or whatever. I know my limits.
Yeah.
But it comes in handy when I want to go the distance, you
yeah,
know.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
I hadn't really thought about that, the use of technology and how it does. It's both great. You're saying, right, it pushes us, but it also
yeah.
may drive us
yes.
in
yes.
some of our decision making. How about, do you have a race that you haven't yet done that's on that someday list?
On my bucket is a marathon in Japan because... I would like to complete my 6th world major.
Mm-hmm.
So that is the only country left. I had done Berlin, Germany. Mm-hmm. I had done London. And then now Japan, hopefully coming up in 2023.
Nice.
Because they canceled for 22.
Okay.
And then the 3 is in America, like Chicago, New York, and Boston.
Mm-hmm.
So I have tons of those. I had done Chicago, and then I had done New York 3 times. And Boston, I had done it 19 times. So okay. This year will be my 20th.
You're so impressive.
So I cannot miss that, even with my surgery. That's why I told my doctor last year, after October, you know, I said I really need the surgery. I want to be able to run in April. So last year, I pushed myself. In October alone, I did 3 marathons. London, I came back to do Boston the following week. The following week, I did Bay State. The following weekend, I did the half in Seacoast and the 5K the day before. And then a few days later, I had the surgery. Oh. I said, okay, I think I'm ready to rest. And then now I was on, you know, crutches and boots and all of this stuff. And then, you know, I was able to walk when I had the boots on. And I do appreciate running even more now because I miss it.
Yeah.
And when I was able to do so, I probably took it a little bit for granted, you know. But I'm getting back there on the road, no doubt.
You definitely are. And it's funny, you know, like you were saying, chasing Garmin, you're kind of chasing Boston too, right, to get that 20th in. So
yes.
I'm absolutely sure that would happen. And I guess like a final question, is there anything you say to yourself when the going gets tough, Cynthia? Anything that...
When it gets very tough, I tell myself to stay focused, keep moving forward, one step at a time. Every step counts. Believe in yourself. You know, I believe in myself. I said, okay, I have done it just this many times. I've been getting myself through. I have to adjust myself at times. You know, you slow down. You walk if you have to, just to get there. You know, just to get there. And then you will have a story to tell. Good, bad, ugly. It is a story to tell. It is my story to tell my family, you know, who I have met at the race, or, you know, how bad it was or how good it was. You know, it is my story to tell at the end of the race.
Well, certainly what you say to yourself works, because you are such a tremendous runner and such an inspiration. I say that for myself, and I'm sure for lots of individuals out there who are listening, who have lined up at races with you. Just a true inspiration. So I'm so, so grateful that you joined me today, and sending good karma to your foot that you'll make it there for Boston this season. So thank you so much for joining me. And I want to thank our listeners for tuning into the 50 States Finish Line podcast. You can find episodes on all podcast platforms. Until next time, I hope our listeners feel energized about planning their next race. Happy running.
Happy running. Thank you for having me.
It's been wonderful.